हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Suparma Sundarbha, Adhyayana 2, Adhikarana 7, the jiva is always dependent on the Paramatma. Page 91.
Maharaj, I have a question from yesterday.
Ah.
It was mentioned that the person who are desiring jnana, they see the non-difference. And person who are desiring bhakti, they see the difference.
Yes.
So, with the Achintya Bedabeda philosophy, person is supposed to see both. No?
You see both, but which is the higher and which is the dependent? Which is the primary and which is the secondary?
Yes.
It said that the difference can be seen only by bhaktas. Does it say that devotees see only difference? The text says the difference can be seen only by bhaktas. This difference, non-difference is also seen by devotees.
Yeah, it means the non-devotees, they only see non-difference. They can't see difference.
Yes.
I mean, you'll talk about it like on a common platform, but when you actually get philosophical with them, they only see the oneness.
Yes.
Because the impersonal element comes up.
Yes.
Because they're trying to use material intelligence. And as soon as you're using material intelligence and logic, you can only get that far.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Because their concern is with the material realm. They're worshipping the Lord generally to get some material benefit, either in karma or in jnana.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going beyond. So by use of logic and all that, they can only actually understand the impersonal.
Yes.
Right? Yes. And then when that impersonal is applied, and then if they come in contact with the devotees, then it will move up. But if they don't, then the problem with the logic, depending on logic since it's material, then applying that onto the absolute, then it will be inconsistent.
Mm-hmm.
So this will create skepticism. It'll create atheism that, you know, there is no supreme. That will create, materialism, you know, just enjoy the senses. And then we'll end up with voidism, you know, because that doesn't work. So our whole system doesn't work because we're unable to see the absolute. Does that make sense? So in other words, everything other than Vaishnavas basically are impersonal. And so then these world religions that are monotheistic, then they have that aspect where they're technically Vaishnavas in a very, you know, beginning stage. But because they don't necessarily fully understand the form of the Lord and all these differences, their knowledge not being so great, they'll go towards that impersonal understanding. Well, then in the proper devotees, they can see the difference. You know what I'm saying? So even you're talking to these monotheistic, you can talk about the difference and they can appreciate that. You just can't take it too far. But outside the Vaishnavas, then they don't understand this. Does that make sense? So that's what he's talking about. They'll only see one. Vaishnavas can see the difference. And now in that oneness and difference, then where they emphasize in that you'll get the different schools.
Yeah?
Even the totality of jivas, samasti, is called amsha. Esha, yeshesha, satvanam, atmamsha, paramatmanaha. Adyo vataro yatrasau bhuta gramo vi vibha vyate. This universal form is the soul of unlimited beings. It is an amsha of Paramatma. It is seen as the original avatar. Within this form, all living beings appear. Srimad Bhagavatam 3.6.98. So even you have them all together, they're still an amsha. They're just a part. So if all together the living entities are just a part, then we're just a very small part, a particle. Right? You know, so hard to get proud. But, you know, we work at it. We try. We do our best. The universal form is the soul, Atma, of the living beings, Asesha Satvanam. It is called Amsha since Jiva, or the totality of Jivas, is an Amsha of the Lord. This form is called an avatar since Narayan appears within it. Sukha spoke thus the verse. Right? So, universal form is because the Lord is, he's appearing within that, within the atoms and bringing everything together so it'll work by his potencies. Therefore, then the universal form is called an avatar of Narayana. Right? Like that. And then the jivas, the totality, they're just a part of that. Right? Because they situate themselves within that. But all the forms, all the this, all the activities, the modes, everything that can happen, that's all happening by the Lord. And then the jivas take part. That's something? No. Sarva Samvadini. Vriti. To appreciate the fact that the jiva is always dependent on the Paramatma, one must be free of all Mayavadi conceptions. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami presents and refutes various arguments put forward by the Mayavadi doctrines regarding the relation between the jiva and the Lord. Vishaya. So this will be the point being made, I mean by us. The jiva is dependent on the Lord. Paramat Maika Seisha. The following should be said. The small jiva is not a bifurcation of Brahman due to a real upadi, since Brahman cannot be cut. Since Brahman is understood to be the sole entity, and since the jiva would have a beginning, right? So the jivas are beginningless. You know, I mean, if you're taking Brahman as beginningless, then the jiva would be created at a particular point. That means they have a beginning. You know, I like that. Cutting means that one entity is divided into two. So that means that since that Brahman is indivisible, how would you get this? Right? So when you bring up this, they can't be bifurcated. Then they come up with another. Okay, then you know. Shamshaya and Purvapaksha. If Brahman cannot be cut, then we propose that one portion of Brahman without being cut is endowed with an upadi in the form of a small particle or anu. You know, in this way, then we're saying, yes, and this is how the Shastras are saying we're a small particle, an anu. Because then a portion of Brahman is being covered. Like that. Uttara. So then the reply. Since the upadis themselves cannot attract a portion of Brahman by their own volition, right? Means Brahman is transcendental. So that means Brahman would not be attracted by an upadi. You know, because they're basing the whole point of is that Brahman is covered by an upadi. You know, and then this way you get the jiva. But the point is, and we're here and we're attracted by this, but how would Brahman get attracted to become, in their mind, a jiva? So, therefore, Brahman not being able to be attracted, the upadis would move about and would attach themselves to Brahman randomly in different places at every moment. Because Brahman won't take it, so they'll attach themselves here, there, and try to... Does that make sense? Yeah, or like, you know, it's let us say you're walking, you know, through Howrah Station, right? And you get one of those, you know, kids that come up and they want something.
Yeah.
You are completely detached, but they try to this way, that way, come in front, go back, come to the side, you know, this way. They try so many different ways. And when it doesn't work with you, they immediately go to the next person, you know? Like if they think you're a better option than anybody else, they'll stick with you. But as soon as they see you're not going anywhere and this guy's better, immediately they just leave. So they look for where they can attach. So because they're saying that this upadis, you know, is something that's having its own kind of nature that it's trying to cover and everything like that. So then it would be trying to do that. And because Brahman can't be covered, it won't work. There would be a bondage and liberation of the jiva at every moment, caused by attachment and detachment of the upadhi. Because the jivas just appear and disappear as the upadhi attached and detached, because Brahman can't be covered. You know, it means it can't be attracted by this. And so then that means if they became like this, detached and all this, like they're saying they are, then that upadhi would leave them because nothing's happening, and they would just disappear. You know, halfway through the lecture, they're going like this, and poof. Yeah. And they go, oh, the upadhi left. You know? Yeah. Can the sarupa Brahman with the upadhi become the jiva? If that is so, then Brahman could not be said to be beyond material conditioning. Right? Because Brahman can't be covered. You know, it's transcendental. How can it be covered to produce a jiva? Right? See, because there's so much wanting to be God that they're willing to let this go, because then they can become God. Because if God can't be covered by upadhis, that means they, having been covered by upadhis, can never become God. Yes. And they don't want that. They want to become God. So therefore, they're willing to let it go that God became covered. Even though the point is, because if God become covered, you work so hard like that and so austere in that, and then bring yourself to the Brahman, you merge into Brahman, and then because, you know, Brahman can be covered, you might end up back here again. It's like, what happened? You know. Yes?
So in this case, Brahman is not the supreme, but the upadhi is the supreme.
Yes, because the upadhi can control Brahman. And if you say it's a pastime, then you're acknowledging that Brahman then has personality. And if you do that, then you open the door to Bhagavan, which they don't want to do either. You know, they don't mind being Bhagavan, but Brahman can't be Bhagavan. So you see, it's very, very self-centered. No?
Yeah, why can't they just accept three features of the Lord? They don't want to deal with Bhagavan. They don't want to deal with Paramatma. That's fine. Just deal with whatever portion you want to deal with and be happy with that.
That's there, but then what does that mean? Because we know that if you have Brahman and then there's Paramatma and then there's Bhagavan, that Bhagavan and Paramatma are superior features. Yeah. Who wants to be, you know, in the third class position? You know what I'm saying? It means you even see is that people want to maintain their upadhis, but they want to claim that somehow or another it's equal to or better than those who are trying to give up the upadhis, because they're being natural and everything like that. It means naturally conditioned by the modes and how it controls you at the time. So it's natural for the modes. As far as the soul goes, none of these upadhis match. And so therefore the natural thing for the soul. So in other words, the other one is you know, how you say, you're creating a society for upadhi consciousness. You know? Instead of the society for the soul to take up God consciousness. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, and what is one of the main drives here is prestige. No one wants to be less. Why Varnashram has a problem getting established? No one wants to be the Shudra. Right? Does that make sense? So it's all the prestige. Okay, being the Brahmin, that was the thing, but then you find out, well, the Brahmins aren't actually really in control. They give advice. It's the Kshatriyas who control. Yeah, they're like that, but they don't have the money. The Vaishyas have the money. Yeah, we want the money, but they don't really have the control. So then, well, you know, the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. But then, you know, Brahmins are above that. We don't want that either. So therefore, then we're Dvijas. You understand? So this somehow or another attachment of the jiva for, you know, distinction, adoration, and profit is very strong. Even if they give up the gross, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, still distinction, adoration, and profit still has to be addressed. And so when that's addressed, then it's, you know, I said, I inandanatano jakinkaram. Then I am just your, you know, a particle of dust at your lotus feet. So you see, as they're very proud of their scholarship, their knowledge, their logic, you know, their grammar and all this, well, Vaishnavas aren't, even though they may be more. Like sometimes devotees may think that they know more Sanskrit and that than Prabhupada, because Prabhupada doesn't present himself as a Sanskrit scholar. But they're like seriously mistaken, not even like close, you know, like, you know, light years difference, that kind of, you know, comparison. And so, but because Prabhupada doesn't have the attitude, it doesn't look, but let's say the Karmi academics, they have the attitudes, you think, oh, they're so scholarly and so, you know, prestigious, and we have to become like that and, you know, be professionals and all this. But the point is no, the Vaishnavas are one lecture Prabhupada is talking about, we should become professional spiritualists. So devotees are already professionals, just in spiritual. Yes.
Also, just 20 years before my time, any educated person knows way more Sanskrit than the academic PhDs of the current time.
Yes.
And Prabhupada is generation before. So
yeah.
How much they would have.
Yeah, many generations. Plus, he also knows Vedic Sanskrit, yeah. So he did a much deeper study. Yes, yes. And I can guarantee you he comes from a place where they speak Sanskrit. So.
Even in general, you consider nobody, even an ordinary person of that time, is way more than the topmost scholar now.
Now, yeah, yeah.
And
Is that okay? Or?
Yeah, I'm also thinking that if they present themselves logicians or they admire logic.
Yes, yes.
And as soon as they introduce randomness of something,
yes,
then it can be introduced any time later. So it becomes illogical, it becomes whimsical. Basically.
Yes, it becomes whimsical.
Because they say, you know, whatever it is, they can't explain anirvachaniya.
It just happened.
Yeah, but then...
Yeah, anirvachani. So the thing is, as you see, that's the basis even the modern science. They're so scientific, but at a point they can't explain it. They can't explain time and space, which is very necessary for everything to work. And so then they just have to leave it. So it's like they'll get up to the one point, the edge of the universe, and then that's it. They can't go anymore. And so since the material logic works within that sphere and they're attached to that, then they identify with that, and that's fine, and as long as no one talks about it. You know, it's like sometimes you have that saying, you know, about people. There's something going on that everybody knows but no one talks about. They say, you know, they say the elephant in the room, you know, like that. So that's the elephant in the room. No one will talk about it. And it's against the etiquette, basically, to bring it up. So you can't make a conclusion, and you can't actually go into the dogmas. And these are the etiquettes, you know? But, you know, real fundamentals. I mean, there'll be so many more finer points, but these are major, major, because if you address these, you actually then basically don't have an academy anymore. You know, you can have the institution, the buildings, but you don't really have a basis for the education that's being taught. You know? You can say it's knowledge, but, you know, it's just like the kids know. If you take that, you know, a little jute stick and you poke this, then this happens. You know, so, I mean, now do we open a university? You know? So that's the There's these fundamental things. That's what you're seeing, is that the jivas made the mistake of I'm the controller and enjoyer. They become envious of Krishna. And why? Because they want to enjoy. Therefore, based on that avidya, these are all the various forms that the avidya takes. So these are the intellectual forms. Then you're going to have the other, you know, oh, well, everyone becomes a devotee, what will happen to the world, you know? So someone, you know, it's like, you know, you get all these things, no? Yeah. So it's just, this is what avidya offers. It's what the three modes offer. You know, because you have false ego in three modes. And so according to these three modes, then that's the way it rolls. And because everybody is like that, then everybody agrees. Isn't it? You know, if everybody agrees to a certain thing, let's say you have a group of, teenage or college kids, and let's say they're from nice backgrounds, and they're good, educated, prestigious, rich, and all that. For amongst them, it's an unspoken truth that you can harass anybody who's not from that group. You can look down on them. As long as they stay out of your way or this or that, but if they get too close, you can harass them. You know, but if you bring it up, then you'll just see you're dealing with false ego. There's no basis. You know what I'm saying? So all these different things that come up, you know, all the different things, your racism, you know, your xenophobia, you know, all these different things, they all come up from some basic thing. Because you see, as if you go into it, then you just meet false ego. They just become angry because they don't have a basis. You know, why is it that only you're saying, okay, this particular, we're saying this, some people are saying this group of people are superior and others then can be exploited. Then you say, no, these people are being exploited. They're important. You can't exploit them. Okay, so then they're also, so then we have these two. But then the same time is then let's say there's another party, then now that's not considered. And if you bring that up, oh, you're saying this second group doesn't matter? We're pointing out the third group is there too. If there's a principle there of, you know, everybody should be have a nice position and not be exploited, that includes all these other positions. But as soon as you bring that up, oh, you're lessening our prestige, our glory, our, what is it called? Thunder, right? You're lessening our thunder, you know? Like that. It's just like, you know, because then we're just one of many who, you know, it all has to be considered. And then if you go into something where there's a predominance of these others, and that first group is the minority, they're getting harassed. And now it's all right. You know, they'll say, oh, we've been harassed for so long, you know. So, but two wrongs don't make a right. It's just standard way of dealing. So you see is that there's inherent dogmas that no one will talk about. Because they want to be the controller and enjoy. You see, in all these examples, they want to control, and by that control, they enjoy. Mm-hmm. And then when you point out that controlling is wrong, then it just lets someone else come up, and then they control in the same way. You know, hence the point of, you know, the pigs in suits. Now they exploit in the exact same way that the farmer did. And you see, that's the way it goes. All the tribes are there, they're fighting with each other because they hate each other. Then another power comes in to try to take over because there's, you know, how you say? You know, because they're all fighting, so there's no real control. A bigger power comes in. Then they all get together because they hate each other, but they hate someone else other than themselves more. So then they fight against this bigger power. The bigger power leaves. As soon as they leave, the nanosecond they leave, they're fighting with each other again. So it's just how the modes of nature work, you know. So when we say the envy and attachment, the karana sharir, unless you've come in contact with the Vaishnavas and gotten the seed of devotion, that is your foundation. It's your being. It's your upadi. It's your, you know, your existence.
The difficulty we found to explain to the devotees, you know, Dashamul and other places is mentioned the origin of the jiva, is that if we make a statement, then God created everything,
mm-hmm.
and we are part and parcel of Him. That automatically in the mind connects that the jiva was created by Him. Although here it is mentioned that it was always there.
Yeah, jiva is always there. Because they're looking at the spiritual from the material. In the material there is creation. It means you're taking the same energies that are already existing and all the basis that comes from that. You know, the 24 elements, the three modes of nature, you know, all these things. And then they're just being manifest. So you call that creation because something's going on. You're taking something and create. You take a piece of wood. You go out in the forest, you find this chunk of wood, bring it back, get out your chainsaw, start working on it, and then you have something, and we'll say he created some, you know, nice artwork.
Yeah.
But all he did was transform what's already there.
Yeah.
They're not creating something. You know, Michelangelo, the La Pietà, he starts with a block of marble. Then he carves that, then he ends up with a particular, you know, art form. So there's this. So we just use that to mean that put in effort in the process of transformation, right? For Krishna, just his willpower makes transformation, right? So in that way, we say created. But the point in the spiritual world, it's never created. It's always there. It's ever expanding. So that's the point: is their material logic has to stop at the material, and they have to then hear from authority beyond that. But if they have too much faith in their own logic, then they'll always find these things a difficulty. And if they do find them a difficulty, these should be left at this time. You know, just like this. Let us say you've had a bit of an accident, okay? And so then you, let's say, hurt your ankle. And if you step on your ankle, it hurts so much you fall over, right? And so what do the doctors say? You know, rest it. Right? And then after some time you try it again, and if it's still, you leave it. And if it's all, basically it's kind of painful, then, you know, you wait a little bit more. And then when you can kind of walk on, it's not so much, then, you know, then you'll get it and to the point where you can walk, or you just leave it. So that's just the way it works. It's a disease, this is, to see in these ways. So therefore, if by dealing with it, it just makes the disease worse, don't deal with it. Leave it. Right? You know, it's just like the kid picking at the scab. You tell them don't do it, but they have to. Stop. So that's the thing. They think they're being very intellectual, but they're being very, very childish. I wouldn't tell them that in this particular presentation and tone of voice. But that's exactly what's going on. It's that it's a topic that all the acharyas say don't worry about, but they have to worry about it, and their whole existence, their whole, you know, the prima facie of the philosophy, and their, what's it? How do you say raison d'être, something? You know that one? Means that their purpose of existence all is around this one thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but it's not. You already exist, and that is here. It's obvious. You're going on. You're talking. You know. You're breathing air. You know, stuff like that. And so, therefore, then don't worry about it. Worry about things in hand that you can deal with. You know what I'm saying? Somehow or another, even though it was said not to get into this, devotees got into this. And then they go to people, ask questions, they say it from a different angle, they get confused, then it becomes a big issue, then they have to write books and this and that, and it becomes whole things. But it's not important. You know, it goes on the list with the peacock feather. You know, really, it's on that list. Yes.
In this relation, when people ask that, okay, there's Supreme Lord, and from that the jiva is created, from the material perspective, if you look, it has to be that way, because from when you are seeing a time frame, something which is the shelter and origin of something, through that, you see at a later point of time, the other one is manifested. But in a spiritual world, when we say there is no past, present and future, then this cannot happen. Then when it is presented, this statement that, no, the jivas are manifested by the Supreme Lord, it only means that the Lord is the shelter and the origin, as a Shaktiman, and these are Shaktis.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to be presented in the material world in this format.
Mm-hmm.
I think that whole explanation.
Yeah, because there's time and space, so that's the problem. So, but they're not. You know, even you say you don't use creation, you use manifested. But then they're going to think, but then there's a point, but you always existed. Prabhupada always makes that point. Krishna, that's the first point he makes in the Gita, that we've always existed. And so that's the thing. It's just a matter of he's unlimitedly expanding, and at some point then we're there. You know, that we can take part in things.
The difficulty with beyond time and space is that we don't have any basis for anything. So we have to,
yes,
we have to put a point in eternity, and then on that point this becomes the something solid. And then from that point we try to, like Prabhu was saying, we try to, you know, see the creation, this and that. So we need that point, but there is no point. So it is actually
it is
problem.
But you see is that what you just explained is the ascending process.
Yeah.
Through pratyaksha I make a point. Then Anuman I start to speculate on.
Right.
And guaranteed I will never come to Siddhanta that the Shabda says. So the point is that's why what's beyond, you have to take the authority of those from that side, the Lord himself and the liberated persons. They can tell you what's beyond. You know, otherwise then we end up like Dr. Frog. You know, it's not a matter you can do. It's just, it's like, that's the way. That's why. And that's the thing is because the jiva, by nature, they are Satchitananda, so they have that knowledge. But it becomes, Krishna reveals that knowledge since it's about himself. And the jiva is part and parcel of Krishna, so even knowledge of ourself has to be revealed by Krishna. And so then, when he's pleased by our devotion to please him through following the instructions of the Acharya, then he reveals this. There is no other process. You know? And that you can explain it using logic. You can give a logical explanation, but it can't be understood by logic. You know, it's just like I can logically explain a recipe for cooking, but it's not that logic that makes you now a cook. You know, you learn cooking by association. So that's the thing, is we demand that it has to be in a certain way. And you can demand. This is the place of demand.
And supply.
Demand and supply. So then you can stay here. You want to go back to Godhead, then we just relax and surrender to Krishna and everything's taken care of. That's just the way it is. You have to accept the descending because you have no, like you said, there is no samskara, there is no alternative. You know, they want it. No, you can get this way. You know, we have that, but we can get it. No, you can't. It's just impossible. You cannot. Because they're dealing with material intelligence, material mind, material senses. They're dealing with all their samskaras that's from material interaction. And so, therefore, how are they going to deal with the spiritual realm? It's the nature of the soul, but you have to accept that that is the nature of the soul. That's why it's a separate topic. The nature of the soul is one topic. Then you define liberated and conditioned. But unless we accept that, and that's the first one, because only then you can understand the other two.
Yeah.
So they're not accepting who they are. You know. So then, okay, then what's the alternative? You know, even if we take their philosophy, you know, they've been created and this and that. So what does that do for you? How does that make any difference? You've been created by Krishna, so then you belong to Krishna. You still have to surrender and serve.
Well, then it's really wild. Then you blame everything on the third party.
Okay, you blame everything on the third party, but just that's okay. As long as then, therefore, the children can blame everything on you. You know, the society can blame everything on the individuals. You know, like in Capitol Hill, they can blame it all on these individuals who, you know, are rebellious and this and that. They're at fault. Therefore, that, you know, there's nothing to see here. So if they want to do blame, then we'll blame them for why aren't they following. But the point is they're blaming, but they're not following. So that means it's just like they go to school, they get a bad mark. They can blame the teachers, but at the same time, did they put in the endeavor as the teacher said? The teacher has taught it in a particular way. You learn it in that way. You do your test, you get a good mark. The teacher teaches you in a certain way. You don't learn it that way. You do it however you like, and you get a bad mark. Is it the teacher's fault?
Yeah, actually, they say it is. Because the teacher is mean, just by nature, because he created the whole educational system. I mean...
Okay, so even say God's mean, then what's the purpose of your life?
Not perfect.
So then why are you even here? You know, it says go to and find yourself a nice factory, go in there, work on the line day in, day out, and, you know, engage yourself in your eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and, you know, what can you do? That's all that's left for you. So, in other words, if it's just mean, why are you talking about it? And if we're created by God, so we're created in the nature of God, you're also mean. You're just small mean, that's all. You're not even great mean. You're just a mediocre mean. But you're mean nonetheless. That you say all these things about God, and that means you're mean. You're a nasty person.
That we can also blame on him. He's mean, that's why I'm mean.
Yeah, so then if you're mean, he's mean, why are you so grumpy about that?
Because we want to be good.
But why do you need to be good? You're not good. It means he's mean, you're mean, it's all that. What's this good? Where does that come? That's an illusion. You're trying to become good. How does that come up? Where did that come from? Why do you come up with you have to be mean? So that means if there's good, that means that has to come from God also. Because nothing's separate from him. So that means if there is good in the world, that must have come from him. And you can endeavor for good, so that means then God also has that good. So why is it only he's mean and you can be good? So you're superior to God? Is that what you're saying? So then again, it comes back to all these bogus philosophies. So we see is that the impersonal philosophy, the atheism, all that comes from logic. As you said, logic produces skepticism, atheism, materialism, and voidism. That's what logic creates if it's misused. And if it's used properly, in line with how to understand our relationship with the Lord, then we progress in our devotional activities. So this is a misapplication of logic, therefore skepticism and atheism. And the bottom line is they want to support that it's all right for me to be materialistic. Yeah. And then when nothing works, then it's, oh, it's all bad. It's all God. Then it's voidist. So you see all of them happening in the same conversation. All four. And that's what the acharyas say will happen. So then... how can they say that their perspective is right? Because they don't know this. The acharyas know what happens. Just like the kid says, no, I can go outside in the snow, you know, in my shorts and t-shirts and run around and everything will be fine. And the parents say, no, you'll get sick. And the kid says, the kid demands that he will not get sick. You dress him up, he'll still go out, take everything out. And then when he's sick as a dog, then, you know, how come the parents didn't, you know, take care of him? So we're dealing, again, like I said, with children. Or a childish mentality, let's say. And that's the point. So the only mature mentality or adult mentality is that of, Vaishnav fixed in Krishna consciousness. That's where maturity begins. Before that, then it's all this stuff. And so people can get into this, and who's cultivating it? Who's bringing this up? Who's discussing this that people have thought about it so much that they have so much philosophy? So people actually make it part of their upadhi to you know, I'm intelligent, I do this, you know, we're from the, you know, we don't accept things blindly and all this and that. But you accept the paradigms of the university blindly. Go ahead. Go against the university. Tell them that they're wrong. See if you get your degree. See if they even allow you to continue studying in their institution. Right? They'll toss you out. I mean, I don't think you get any money back on your tuition, but they'll toss you out. And even if you have a degree, then amongst the academy members, they will blacklist you. So you know, I mean, what benefit, where did this come from? All these things, you know, so people bring all this stuff up because they're an iPod, as we said, the previous one is prestige. So the ones that profess these things, it's a matter of prestige. And then the common person becomes bewildered. So whatever great people do, common people follow. So you're just dealing with the modes of nature here. And the acharyas say exactly how it works, mechanically how it works. And you can see it right there. And everybody will say, no, it's not like that. Though it's very obvious, it's exactly like that. Yes?
Yesterday I was here in some class, and then it is mentioned there that the current ocean is a causal ocean.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a border between spiritual and material.
Right, right.
So then whatever is here, it has cause and effect. That's why it's causal. But there's no cause and effect. So we can't, but then we lose our power of control, basically.
Yes.
And then we just disarm. So we feel very insecure.
Yeah, because insecurity, then that you lose identity. So therefore then people, they need that identity to function, so then it's anger after frustration. So that's why you see, if you push to a certain degree, you just get anger.
Yeah.
But it's not a logical anger. It's another thing if you're being strong on a point. But no, this is just, it goes into an anger, and then they'll try to find something that they can use against you to defeat you.
Yeah, it's emotional. It becomes personal.
It becomes personal. It becomes emotional. So that's the whole point, is that it's just, this is the way it is. The acharyas have said, this is the way it is. Krishna has said that. They're simply speaking what Krishna says. That's the reality. You accept that, you go back to Godhead. You don't accept it, you stay here. Why, you don't think all these, I mean, how much we're thinking, all these people who follow the six schools, they don't get into even more detail and all that? So people have been doing that since time immemorial. You know? Daksha is not nicely situated in his philosophy, you know, of karma, you know, like that, you know. So, you know, these things are there. It's always been there. So this whole idea is that somehow or another we're unique and different and everything, but at the same time we have to fit in. How does that work? You know, I have to be recognized for my own individuality and that. So be an individual. No, we have to fit in. Don't rock the boat. Okay, don't rock the boat. So then you're just one of the guys. No, why you're saying that? That's offensive. I'm an individual and this and that. Okay, if you're an individual, be an individual. Do what you want to do and like that. No, you have to fit it. It's just like you're dealing with certain fundamentals that have zero logic. But the mundane mind catches it because it's mundane. And because from that, if I fit in, people think I'm great. If I'm an individual and all that, then people think I'm unique and I'm great. What's the position of both those? On both positions, I come out to look fantastic. In neither one of them, I come out that I'm a humble servant of the Lord. So you see, is that you can say it's illogical, but there's a common point between them. I'm fabulous.
It's hilarious. I heard from a friend an argument. He's a musician,
right,
a devotee, and he told me that he needs tattoos because
he needs tattoos.
He needs. It's a need. Why? Because then, if he has tattoos, then he can reach to a certain audience, which without tattoos he won't reach. So this is artists. How they think, and in his mind it's like perfect logic.
Yeah, without it then he won't. At the same time, is that you probably, there are people who don't have that still reach the same audiences.
Yeah.
And there's always the point, you can always be a studio artist. You release the thing, no one sees you.
Yeah.
You know,
especially nowadays.
Yeah. You know, so it's but need means you want them also, like that. You're happy with them, okay? You know, but you know, it's kind of like, okay, then go for it. And then what happens when the market changes? Now what are you going to do? What happens when tattoos are out? Now it's in. But it's like before. You go back in time, tattoos are for, you know, guys that were, you know, stayed on ships or, you know, came from the jail or something like that. And other people didn't have them.
Yeah.
You know, and then also it means it limits your niche. It's very small. Like that. You know, but you look at some of these artists that are world renowned and have been for a long time, none of them had tattoos.
They're old.
Old. But probably dead.
Yeah, most of them.
Yeah, yeah. Look at Beethoven, no tattoos.
Renoir.
And you can say, oh, but his music's not theirs.
But they had long hair.
Huh?
Long hair. Mozart had long hair.
Yeah. Oh, you mean he has to have something. So
yeah.
Then he has a big, big ponytail, you know. So. The point is that you have a shaved head that already is different from anybody else. It's just like, remember when all the what do you call it? Your rock bands and all that. They all have these wild outfits. Like I think Yes was one of the most crazy. Wasn't it Yes?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, but I'm just there, you know, the makeup, this is crazy.
Kiss. I think the Kiss were the wild.
Yeah, Kiss. They were the most crazy. Yes was wild and Kiss was even more crazy. So but then you had someone like what was it? That Springsteen?
Yeah,
he just wear a pair of jeans and a t-shirt, nothing, regular haircut, everything regular, you know, and then play, and then he was, you know, bigger than anybody.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is you see, as you can say this and that, but you see, they themselves go through the time when they, you know, look kind of straight, clean cut, then they got the long hair and the beard, then they shave the beard, they got the long hair, then they got the beard and short hair, and then they just have, you know, both. You see, if you look every so many years, then they keep changing. And so to say that this, you can if you want.
But I mean, this is how you want to fit in, but also be an individual. That's the
Oh, purpose. Okay, because your tattoo is different from everybody else's tattoo.
But still, you have that.
Yeah, you fit in, okay. Yes, I mean, we have a head, two arms, and two legs, and so we fit in. Yes.
Now, I saw the beginning, we are speaking about time and space. So I realized actually that in this course, I remember the first year, it was Lourdes speaking about this time and space.
Mm.
So I think I realize that it takes some time to understand the concept. And
it takes some time to understand the space.
Some time to understand that.
just playing on the words. You know, about time and space. So it takes some time to understand the space. You know?
Yes,
so
yes.
We have to give ourselves, the students, space, you know, so that they have
the
time to understand the space. Otherwise, they don't understand the time.
You have to have some space.
Sorry?
You have to have some space.
Yeah, you have to have some space. You know, otherwise, if the brain is too busy, then they have to give some space in the brain. But that takes time to get the space. But if you don't have... Go ahead. Sorry.
Yes. Thank you for the development.
Yes.
it's a very important topic, but we need some... we need to have a right understanding. So when it is a question to mention that topic to other devotees like that,
I would say when it comes up, generally things like this, if they come up in the purports and that and this verses and that, and you see there's a need in the mood, then you talk a little bit about it. You know, and if no questions come up, you move on.
Yes.
And if some questions come, then you get it. You don't bring it up unless you need to. Sometimes it might be there's a particular example to give, and then if it works, then you throw it in. But then you may have to deal with that, and if they haven't understood the point, because people sometimes take the example and miss the point.
Yes.
You know. You know, it's like you give the example to, you know, set the thing as they say about cooking potatoes. And then the next question is, so these potatoes, some say that they're, Western things, so they shouldn't be offered to the Lord. No, that's not the point we're discussing here. Does a codicil have to mean potatoes? it's like that kind of thing. If codicil means potatoes, why are they cooking this? So I would just leave it for when it comes up. Because then it's coming up in the natural conversation. Because you'll see is that points are being made and built upon. But everything's complete in itself, then it goes into further detail and all that. Because otherwise, the main points of, who we are, who Krishna is, and our relationship, and then that process of linking with the Lord and the result, that's all that's being discussed. But it just goes through deeper and deeper cycles. Like you see, what's discussed in the first six chapters of Gita, it's only that that's discussed in the last six. But it's just more technical. So the point is, if it comes up, then you deal with it. If you're working with fifth canto, then haribol, there it is. So wherever it comes up, otherwise don't bring it up. Does that make sense?
But it's a fact, with the time we've got more space.
Yes, 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 with time there's more space.
So it works.
It works, it works. No? Yes. And then you wait till the evening, then you get also a particular space. No? Yeah, because otherwise, the things especially that are issues and that, unless you like dealing with issues, you just leave them until they come up naturally. Don't put out any bait, like that, because otherwise someone may come along and. Yeah. And also sometimes if you see the mood is like that, change the words that you use. That you're saying the same thing, but don't use any words that would then bring out that issue.
Yes, yes.
And then you just go and you just keep it so it stays philosophical or, or practical or whatever. Because when you're dealing practical, you don't want to get distracted by issues. When you're dealing with philosophy, you don't want to get distracted by issues.
Yes.
But if it comes up, once you've established the point, or even you're going to talk about it, you establish the point first. Then deal with the variations. Rather than directly deal with the issue, you talk about what is the actual principle and the reality. Then you talk about, like Jiva Goswami has established what the Jiva is. Now he's talking about all the ways that you can... he's dealt with them as he goes through. Now in one place he deals with all the ways you can have a mistake on what is the jiva.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
And then it just makes it easier for you and for everyone else. Because I say sometimes people don't actually know what's good for them.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it gets the bile moving doesn't necessarily mean it's spiritual.
The best thing is always to be connected with the principle.
Yes, you connect with the principle and then try to explain it from the principle. Then you get some, and then by continuing doing that with time, they'll see the consistency. Even if they don't understand it there, with time it'll be understood. So some things take a few years, So that's why preaching then it generally means it's a long time. That's why then you preach in a particular place in particular. Because then you have there are those that just go around and keep moving and don't necessarily have any. And they come and they get very nice, it's very refreshing, very inspiring. But then if you're teaching, then you have to kind of deal with the same people over time.
Yes.
And then from that, then you start seeing the results.
Yes.
And then from there, then they'll teach others. And like that, it expands.
Yes, yes.
It's slow, but it's efficient.
The only way.
Yeah, it's the only way. Yeah, okay. Okay. Then continue with the uttara. Can the sarupa Brahman with the upadi become the jiva? If that is so, then Brahman could not be said to be beyond material conditioning. Because if you can cover Brahman with an upadi, that means Brahman is coverable by upadis, means that they are not, Brahman's not transcendental to material conditioning. Right? So that's the thing. They're saying he's transcendental at the same time as he's become covered. It's convenient, but it doesn't make any sense. This type of oneness of jiva with Brahman would also contradict Shruti, which says that ya atmani tishtam, the Lord resides in the jiva. Saptapata Brahmana 14.5.30. It is also said, right? Because they're saying that there's that oneness, but it said that the Lord resides in the jiva. It is also said, sabdavisheshata. Manomaya refers to the Lord because the Lord and jiva are distinguished by words in different cases, indicating the worshipped and the worshipper. Brahma Sutra 1.2.5. So when you're talking about them, the Shastra is dealing, then the case used for Brahman and the case used for the jiva are different. Even if you use the word Brahman, but the cases are different. Like you're saying in the Vedic Sanskrit, then the swaras on the Brahman meaning Brahma Jyoti, Brahman meaning the para Brahman, the supreme, and Brahman meaning the jiva, or even Brahman meaning the material world, it all has different swaras. So his point is the different cases are used. So it's not that it uses one for everything. You know? Otherwise, if everything's one, that would include, you know, your blender and your toaster. But no, why not?
I mean, modern religions, they don't go that far, but they claim themselves to be personal and monotheistic.
Yes.
But in our own experience, we know if you press them enough, hard enough,
yes,
then the impersonal feature comes out.
Yes, yes.
It's hidden inside them.
Yes, yes.
I mean, never happened. Not Buddhism. Buddhism is like obvious.
Yes.
But then, in terms of levels of consciousness, as a tradition, we're not saying about individuals, those can be beyond that, like practitioners or certain faiths. But can they actually raise the consciousness of their followers up to Ananda Maya? Is that possible?
It means by following one of the religious processes. Means technically it should be, but unfortunately, there's not enough understanding to be complete enough in the process to go beyond the basically the consciousness of Manamoya. Because their interest in worshiping God is to get a better situation. Even if they're very devoted, they want to go to heaven. You know, it's a nicer place, you know, no birth and death, it's eternal, you know, and they're pious, so they want, but they're still wanting that kind of situation. They're not trying to get beyond the material creation. Right? They don't even technically know the difference between the two, even though there was some mention about, but they just think, okay, heaven's what's beyond. They don't technically understand. So in one sense, you can say is that the consciousness, they only go up to that level. And so then if they're very religious, then that would be there. For most, it's going to be more kind of like they're going to, that means the consciousness in one aspect, they're accepting Manamoya, but their practice is going to be Pranamoya.
Right.
Because God is part of their moral context. Like modern people, you know, just your general average person, you know, if you talk with them, they may be religious and accept God and, you know, want to follow God, but it's part of them being who they are and them being a proper person and being moral and a good, upstanding, you know, whatever they are. So it's not as prominent. That's the difficulty. Bhavishya Purana mentions that, you know, our, I'd say, Joseph Christos, said then he would live religion, but he would preach sub-religion. Because he's just trying to get them up from Anamoy being, you know, irreligious animals, up to being that they are behaving themselves. Because otherwise, he's trying to introduce bhakti, but, you know, people are just so ritualistic. And we see is that the ritualistic wallers are the ones that got rid of him.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, according to the history, right now. But so that's the difficulty, is that it means technically, if they have that faith and all that, they will progress. Whether in that particular position it can get there, but yes, they can progress. They could progress where they will then, you know, in future positions, then move forward in the process and get to Anandamaya. Whether they will following their particular thing now, but, you know.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they think of God, there'll be a sentiment and all that, so that'll put him in a position where they'll have that thought of God, but it has, unless it has that personal aspect and all that, then how is that going to take them to the spiritual platform? You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
So it's got, but it'll put him in a better place to move forward from. That they have that sincerity and everything.
Because in comparative study, we wanna introduce first. We wanna introduce the similarities, but also we have to show the difference. Otherwise,
yeah.
Some devotees say, you know, what's the difference? We can follow this and that, but there's a lot of difference in that.
Yeah, well, because the it's not so developed means for us, you see, it's a very means the level of how strictly we're following things on one level. Then means a comparative level of restriction and all that can only be found if someone's very orthodox.
Yeah.
You know, in the priests in the temple or ones in the monastery, the theologians who are always practicing like that. Very few others may be. There might be a few here and there. You know, some community of small, you know, what is it, the Essenes or something. You know, so you're not going to get like this, but here is something where you can have that same level, but in a much more relaxed, that you can move with everything that's going on around you because you're changing the consciousness. Well, for them, basically, they're intensifying the consciousness, but they're basically just changing their external form. That's the main difference. That's how you tell the difference. But for us, then it's changing the consciousness. And then within that, you also have the external forms. You know, because you're dealing with the body and mind, which is in senses, which are external, so therefore you use these things to advantage. So that's the point, is that if it's used in proper consciousness, that will bring you up. Because in there, even there are theistic moralists, then very few in there, I mean, you have within that category, this would be one way of dealing. Because, okay, within them, you're going to have the pseudo ones, that it's just part of the thing because it works, but they don't really believe in God. They're not dedicated to God. So it has a much more mundane, they're just what the benefit they'll get out of it. Then you go up farther, is that they have more of that faith in the Lord. But they want the fruit of benefits from that worship. Then you're going to have a level up from that, as they do it because it's their duties. They should do like that. That'll be higher. So they'll have that detachment. Then higher than that will be is that being detached, because for, you know, the lower one, I'm doing the thing, I'll get the benefit. The others, I'm doing because I'm supposed to do that. But then higher than that is that, okay, that benefit, where is it going? I'm detached from it, but it's still there. So where does it go? Then it's offered to Brahman. You know, and then higher than that to Paramatma, higher than that to Bhagavan. So if that understanding is there and that you discuss, then yes, then their position they could move through. They might have to make a few adjustments in their diet, depending upon what's going on. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so. Yeah, otherwise then, you know, I say the offering has been brought out, you know, to be distributed amongst the faithful, but then someone has a problem, is the bread gluten free, You know, how you say, they're vegan, so they can't eat the fish. You know, is it organic? You know, I mean, it's all these kind of things. But, yeah. Okay? So you can think, point, because that's just how they're applying it in their place. They're, you know, as Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, air regions, language, particular mentality of the people, facilities available, then these religions come up. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, so then it just depends on who you're dealing with and the mentality. But the basis is they're trying to get to, if it's developing love for God, and that's the focus, then whatever's favorable for that, you keep. Whatever's not, you give up. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Purva Paksha. So now another doubt. Is the jiva itself the upadi with Brahman as the substrate of the upadi? You know, so they have other ways to. Uttara. At liberation, the jiva as an upadi would be destroyed. Thus, this argument is not acceptable since jiva is eternal. Right? Because it's been mentioned. The Bhagavad Gita says the jiva is eternal. And so then, if the jiva is the upadi and Brahman is the jiva's, you know, it's an upadi on top. So when you remove that upadi, there would be no jiva anymore. But the point is you have to be able to remove the upadi, the jiva remains. And Brahman remains. So that's why you get chit, achit, and ishwara. You get three. They're trying to make it into, they deal with the three, but they're basically trying to say, no, it's only one. Yes.
Sometimes influenced by this point of the philosophy, sometimes I heard some devotee proposing that, oh, we are always in spiritual world, we are not actually here now. That's this.
We're not here now. Then how is it going on here and how does it matter?
Yeah. I mean, in order to just push a point, you actually bring these kind of...
Yeah. Something will come up, they'll take something, they'll understand it, and then because it gave an understanding, then that will try to make everything out of that. So you have to be careful, is that, like Lord Chaitanya said, the Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, that's your core principle. You know? And then from that, then that has its details. The Chitta Chit Ishwara, that then can be brought down, the Dasamul, like that. And so then, you have these fundaments, so the ontology is Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana. That's because there's Sat Chit Ananda. So because Krishna is Sat Chit Ananda, he's the cause, therefore all the effects have to have these three features. That means everything has that aspect to it. Right? There is no fault if the upadi made of ignorance is what is destroyed. But when ignorance, which is the cause of the jiva, cannot also be caused by the jiva. Right? Because that's also the thing. If you ask, where is the... Because now if you say, well, where did this upadi come from? Because there's only Brahman. How did the Brahman get covered by this upadi that it became the jiva? Then they'll say, oh, this ignorance comes from the false identity of the jiva. The jiva falsely thinks he's. Therefore, that's created the upadi. So they say the jiva is created because there's the upadi, you know, by the external energy or maya, but then or ignorance. But then maya is created by the jiva because they can't say. And then when the jiva comes to goodness or knowledge, then that creates Ishwara. So you see in here, who's creating? Brahman does nothing. We're doing everything. You know? So that way, if we've created Maya, we can enjoy Maya. We've created Ishwara, we are Ishwara. They don't want to say, I'm Maya, but, you know. Yes?
I mean, I'm lost, because if we don't have a separate existence from Brahman,
right,
then how, however it started, first the Maya, first the Jiva, how this all happened?
That they are not explaining. That was, you said the word?
Anivachaniya.
Yeah, it's just beyond description. Means, you know, and that just makes it so that they don't have to worry that they look like an idiot. Oh, it's beyond, so.
Because, like Prabhu mentioned, I've also heard devotees saying it's a dream that we're here. It's not real. So they mix whatever they heard here and there, they mix in one pot and make some substance, but it's tasteless, basically.
Yeah, but then they end up with that one jiva philosophy.
Yeah.
Then who's dreaming? So you're saying it's just a dream, so does that mean you exist? Maybe someone else is dreaming about you. You say it's a dream, so who's dreaming? Because you're here, I'm here. How is it our dreams are so well synchronized here? You know, so unless there's someone who's orchestrating this dream,
Maya.
You know, so Maya's there, Mahavishnu is dreaming, then okay, within that, then you can say it's a dream. But it doesn't mean it's not real. Dreams are dreams, but they're real in that they exist. There is a phenomena called dream. It's one of the levels of consciousness. So it's not that it's an illusion. No, it exists.
Yeah. Also, Jiva Goswami says, sometimes what you see in your dream also comes true. So you cannot just take a dream as illusion.
Yeah, like that. It says, the other day also I had one of those, you know, what is it? Must be a reset of the matrix. I'm sitting there. You're talking to somebody in that, and then suddenly they move into a particular position, you move in a particular position, and then you just see it running. You know, this is, you know, you've come across this before.
There's and a then particular then word. Goes.
Sorry?
There is a particular
word. Deja vu.
Deja vu.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just like, what? How do you actually say it?
Like you say.
Oh, okay, that was... Not bad, not bad. Finally, got one right.
Because there's no nazil there. There's no...
Deja vu.
Well, at the
deja.
End, you've got to get nazil. Mm-hmm.
It is two
words.
Oh, deja vu. Okay, deja. Not deja vu. Deja.
Vu.
Vu.
Not vu.
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 Vu means see.
Vu.
Vu means you.
Okay. Mm. Okay. Okay. That. So that's the English. That's the up here.
Yeah. That's not.
Maybe that's why generally you have that thing that the French have the big noses. It's always resonating in the nose, so the nose gets nourished and becomes significant.
Also, good singers and a sweet language. It comes from that.
From the nasal. Oh, okay.
It's very attractive if you know how to use it.
Wow, okay. That's interesting.
Not only French have big noses, but...
but there's different reasons. There's from talking, the other is because the air is free and so you get the maximum you can. And, you know, so different people have...
Poking nose into other
people. Yeah, poking nose into other's business. You know, there's a lot of ways to get a big nose. Like that. Okay. This argument suffers from the fault of ignorance taking shelter of itself. Right? Because ignorance is taking shelter of itself. Means ignorance causes the jiva, but because there's the jiva, there's ignorance. So that means it itself is its shelter. It's the you know, like that. So that won't work. You have to have something and it has its shelter. So then that means it has to be Brahman. But we're saying Brahman is not, how you say, cannot be touched by these things, then they can't connect that. So they can't accept that it's Shakti Parinamavad. So it's Krishna's energies, those are transforming, that's your mind.
I mean, this would be a great explanation of evil in the world. Where does the evil come from? From its own shelter. It exists on its own. It doesn't have to connect with anybody.
Yeah, you can tell them to that. So you're just evil on your own. You're an individual, right? Yeah, so it's your own evil. Don't blame Krishna. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.